We're in Ephesians chapter 6, talking about spiritual warfare. I imagine you probably found by now that living the Christian life is one of the hardest things you've ever tried to do. You know, we all have difficult jobs, and life throws difficulties our way, and learning things can be troublesome. Marriage is difficult, but all of these things affect our Christian life, and our Christian life affects all of these things. And living the Christian life is, in my opinion, one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It's difficult, isn't it, sometimes to get up and come to church? It's difficult to get up in the morning and read your Bible and pray. It's difficult to take a portion of your paycheck that you work so hard for and give it to the church or give it to a missionary. It's difficult to keep your thoughts pure, to keep your eyes on what is good. It's difficult to serve other believers in the church or volunteer for some ministry. It's difficult and scary to evangelize. All of these things are aspects of the Christian life, and living the Christian life is very difficult. One of the hardest things you'll ever do. Have you ever asked yourself, why? Why is it so hard to read my Bible? I mean, we read other books. We read magazines. Why is it so hard to read my Bible? Why is it so hard to pray and to spend time in prayer and to know what to pray for? Why is it so hard to, you know, get up on Sunday morning and come to church? We get up every morning and go to work, and yet on Sunday we just, you know, your alarm clock doesn't go off, and then you get up and your car doesn't start and all these things. I'm convinced that one of the reasons is spiritual warfare. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that it's demons, all right? You know, you hear about these people who pray over their car to cast out the demons out of their car or something like that. That's not it. All right, I am not talking about that at all here. Now, we'll get into that in the future. You'll see in Ephesians chapter 6, these forces of darkness, rulers of darkness, down in verse 12, spiritual hosts of wickedness. So some of those things are involved here, and you'll have to stay tuned for when we get to that in a few weeks. But let me just give you an example here. Let's say you move into a new neighborhood, new house, new apartment or something, and you get to know one of your neighbors. And he's a manager down at the local grocery store, let's say. And so you get to see him there. He's a nice guy. He has a wife. He has three kids. And so you ladies, you might get to know his wife. And if you have kids, your kids play together. You men, you know, you go down to pick up some hamburger for your barbecue, and you meet him at the grocery store there because he's a manager there. And certain times of the year, you know, you need help, man. You all cleaning out your sink or whatever, unplugging it, and various tasks. Or maybe you need to borrow his lawnmower, so you go over there. And he's a really nice guy. He helps out. You invite him over to help you paint your house or something. He comes over. He's willing to come over and help. You invite him over to watch the game and for a barbecue, and he and his wife and his kids come. And everybody gets along so well. And, you know, as your relationship develops, he learns you're a Christian, and, of course, you know that he's not. And so one day, as he's over helping you out with something, you say, hey, you know, I go to church on Sunday. You know that. He goes, oh, yeah, I know that. Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? And he says, you know, my wife and I, we've been talking about that, and we really have been thinking that it would be important for us to get our children involved in a church. So, yeah, we'd like to come. We'll come. And you're excited. You're thrilled because, you know, he's always showing up for everything. Everything you've asked him to do, he's been willing and excited to join you in doing that. And now he has been willing to come to church with you. And so you think, oh, this is great. He's going to be in church tomorrow. Well, you go to church the next morning, you gave him directions, you gave him service times. It gets to 11 o'clock, 11:05, 11:10, 11:15, and he doesn't show up. Now, something like that has probably happened to all of you, and you think, now I wonder what happened. He's always been punctual before. He's always come to everything before and done everything I wanted. You know, I asked him before. He's a really nice guy. He told me he would come. Why didn't he come? So you go home later that week or at the grocery store, and you see him and you say, hey, I really missed you at church on Sunday. What happened? And he just says, oh, you know, the kids got up and they were fighting, and then my wife and I, we got in a little spat, and the coffee maker didn't work, and so I was grumpy. You know, they just get these excuses, and you think, where did that come from? Sometimes, frequently, spiritual warfare is involved, right? Life just happens, and our flesh rears up, and we feel like that Sunday morning we just need to sleep in. Evangelistic efforts, you know, seem to fall on deaf ears. We procrastinate, or just things happen because we're in spiritual warfare. And, you know, we could give numerous more examples from your own life, from your marriage, from your job, from, you know, children are under attack in our society today. Marriages are under attack. The church is under attack. Pastors, church leaders are under attack. The Bible is under attack. All of these things are due to spiritual warfare. So, and again, we'll get into all of this. There's a lot more involved than demons and Satan. We ascribe too much power, I think, sometimes to demons and Satan. A lot of times it just comes down to our own flesh, right? Oftentimes, worldly influences and our own flesh, that's the culprit. Satan and his demons are not the only ones involved here. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's all coming up in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Today, I just want to show you and me how to prepare ourselves for battle. If you're going into battle, and that's what spiritual warfare is, if you're going into battle, the first thing to do is prepare yourself. That's the most important thing, to begin preparing yourself for spiritual warfare, is to prepare yourself to focus on your life. Rather than what's out there, rather than other people, rather than, you know, thinking about demons and Satan and all these other things, look inward first and focus on yourself. You cannot be a good and strong soldier in spiritual warfare, in this spiritual battle, unless you are strong and powerful as a soldier. So that's what we're going to look at today in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. How I can prepare for spiritual warfare. Before we can have victory in the world, we need to have victory in our own life. And we'll see that in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Let me just read this verse for us. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, Paul gets to this section, and he's worked his way all the way through Ephesians, and he gets to this section on spiritual warfare. And I think that this first verse is kind of like a battle cry. Remember when Gideon gets his 300 men and they go out to fight the Midianites, and they get their torches and they put them under jars and they get their trumpets and they spread out on the hills surrounding the camp of the Midianites. And Gideon says, "Look, at a certain time, we're all going to break our jars, we're going to blow our trumpets, and we're going to shout, 'The sword of the Lord and Gideon!'" Then they're going to blow their trumpets, and all the Midianites are scared that there's a huge army, and they all start fighting each other. So they have this battle cry that they shout before they come down and attack the Midianites. And if you've watched movies, you know, like The Gladiator or a Braveheart with Mel Gibson, you know, they all line up, and to get themselves all revved up for battle, they have this battle cry that they shout. This verse 10 is a battle cry. We read it, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You want to know what this is? "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Paul's saying, shout this. Get your heart beating on this. When you're facing spiritual warfare, just shout it. You know, people will look at you pretty weird. But this is a battle cry. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And let's just look at this. We're going to look at this battle cry this morning. And this is kind of how we get excited for spiritual warfare. So the first thing, though, is Paul says, "Finally, my brethren." And the word "finally," let's focus on that first. "Finally, my brethren." Paul, I wish we could have studied all the way through the book of Ephesians, because Paul has been building up to this point right here. He's gone through five chapters to get to this point. And he, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he told us about the riches that we have as Christians and how privileged we are and how much we have as Christians. And then in chapters 4 and 5, he talked about what we're supposed to do with those riches and the responsibilities we have as Christians. And now he gets to this point. It was all been building up to this. Finally, here's my final point, my last word, my big application, the point I've been trying to get us to. And if we had studied all the way through of Ephesians, there's key words, key ideas, key terms. Paul brings them all back up here in these 11 verses. All the key ideas, all the key themes, they crop up here again. And so he's been building up to this idea of spiritual warfare. That shows us how important it is. And so that's why he says, finally, here's my big point. Here's how important this everything I've been saying is. That shows us how important this section is. Then he talks about my brethren. And that's an encouragement to me and to you because Paul's associating himself with us. He's not the general standing back or the president or whatever telling the soldiers to go out and fight. Paul is saying, look, men, look, soldiers, look, women, we're in this together. I am a soldier with you. We are brethren. I have never seen I think it's an HBO series, The Band of Brothers. Maybe you've seen it. I haven't watched the show of it, but I hear it's a good show showing how soldiers grow together and protect one another and defend one another in battle. That's what Paul is saying. Look, we are brethren. We're in this together. It's not a lone ranger out there fighting the battles all by yourself. You've got fellow soldiers with you. You see this one here on the left. This one injured soldier, he's down, and we got a guy standing over him, protecting him with his shield. That's the way spiritual warfare is. We're in this together. We march together. We practice together. We defend each other. We're a band of brothers. We are brothers with Paul. We're fighting alongside Paul. Now, he's dead and gone, but he's in this battle with us as well. He was. And you and I are all in this battle also. And you think, you know, we're fighting along with Billy Graham right now. And a lot of these other major Christian leaders, they're in this battle with you. You are not in it alone. We have friends and allies, and we are watching out for each other. So that's this first idea. Finally, Paul's been leading up to this point. My brethren, we're all in this together. You and I and all of us, you're not in the battle alone. So when things get rough, when temptation comes, when it seems like life is out to get you, hey, call your friends, your Christians around you. Come to church. Get encouraged. You know, call up somebody and say, I really need some prayer today. If you need some financial support. I mean, we are in this together. And that's why we need to help each other, support each other. When somebody's fallen, when somebody's down, come around them and lift them up and protect them, provide for them as brothers and sisters, as fellow members of the family of Christ, as we're supposed to. So that's very important there. But now we come to this last part, the rest of verse 10 here. And Paul writes, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now this is the battle cry. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice, first of all, that what Paul is saying is that this isn't our strength. It's his might. It's the strength of the Lord, in the Lord. It's the strength we have as Christians. And so that's encouraging, too, because sometimes you might feel pretty weak. You might feel pretty down and out and like you're just getting beaten on and battered on. But guess what? It's the strength we have in the Lord, not in ourselves, that is important here. And it's his might, not ours. And this idea of power, again, I wish I could show you all the way through Ephesians how there's two great prayers that Paul prays for the Ephesians in this letter. And guess what? They are both about how he wants them to grow in power and in strength. But if you're like me, sometimes you don't feel very powerful, right? I mean, if we have this power in the Lord, the power of God, I mean, how much power is that? Power of God who created the universe, the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead, all these miracles that happen in Scripture, that's the power that is available to you and to me. And yet we think, well, how come I don't feel that power? How come I don't experience that power? How come I don't see that power or sense that power? I don't feel very powerful most of the time. And I'm convinced that that's one of the reasons is because our life is kind of like a fuse box. And, you know, here's an old fuse box. I don't know if you've even seen, they don't really have fuse boxes like this anymore. But these are little 10 amp, maybe 15 amp fuses in there. And I used to work at a Bible camp where they had these kinds of fuse boxes, and they were always burning out and popping, blowing a fuse. And I would always have to go replace them because we were trying to send too much current, too much electricity through this little teeny fuse box. And finally, I think what they did is they pulled out that old fuse box and put in a brand new fuse box that could carry a lot more electricity. That's the way it is in our lives. We sometimes, because of sin or because we're new Christians or just because of things that are in our life, we've got all this electricity, all this power of God that He wants to flow through us. But instead of allowing it to get through us, we've got these little fuses, this little fuse box. And every time God tries to do something powerful through us, our fuses burst, they pop, they break. And so we've got to put in that little 10-amp fuse again. And the point is to just replace the fuse. Get a stronger, more powerful fuse box in there to allow greater current to flow through us. And that's what Paul has been talking about all the way in Ephesians up till now. That's what the spiritual armor is going to be for when we get into that. And that's what Paul is saying here, to be strong. Paul here uses a special word here, and it's endunamao, which means grow stronger, become stronger, get more strength. And that's what he's encouraging us to do here. When you become a Christian, you've got all this infinite power of God behind you. We got this little teeny fuse. And we have to become stronger and grow in strength so that more power can grow through us. And so that's what the rest of this is all about, how to do that. And I want to tell you some of that today as well. And he pictures, this whole idea has this picture of a Roman soldier. And here's a drawing of one. You see he's got this pack and he's got his swords and he's got his armor on. Not swords, his spears and some other things. And we'll be talking about all these things in the future. But when Paul is saying be strong, he's picturing here the soldiers and the training that they went through to be a Roman soldier. And this is just amazing, the training that they experienced. If a soldier becomes strong and wants to become strong and mighty, what does he do? He trains and exercises, right? It's like in football today. You know, you train, you lift weights, you become any sport, really, and to become more strong. Now, back in Paul's day, there was a man who lived who wrote about the training that Roman soldiers went through to become strong. And it was a man named Vegetius, and he wrote this manual called The Military Institutes of the Romans. And let me just read some of what he says. He says, victory in war does not depend entirely upon numbers. They had a big army. And he said, the numbers don't matter. Or mere courage. Only skill and discipline will ensure it. And he goes on and talks about the training they went through. He says that, first of all, when they were enlisted into the military, they received a brand on their shoulder, kind of like a tattoo maybe even, but they were branded kind of, and it was SPQR. That's the letters they got branded on their shoulder. Latin showing, and I think I have an insignia in Rome. It means property of the Senate and people of Rome. That's what it means. So they're branded. Kind of like us, when we become a Christian, we receive the seal of the Holy Spirit, showing that we belong, we are the property of God. I don't know if you saw the movie Gladiator, but early in the movie, after he gets captured, he tries to scrape that brand off his shoulder. I don't know if you've seen the movie, you remember that, but he doesn't want to be associated. He wants to hide the fact that he was in the Roman military. And he has this brand, this tattoo, in a sense. I can't remember if it's a brand or a tattoo, but he scrapes it off his shoulder so that nobody knows that he used to be in the Roman army. Anyway, after they got branded, they received this seal of ownership, just like we do, the Holy Spirit. Then they began their training and their exercise. And it was strenuous exercise. They trained in any weather, rain, you know, baking sun, And it consisted of three categories: physical training, weapons training, and field service. The most important was the physical training. And guess what they did for physical training? They didn't have weight rooms and things like we do today. They went out and marched. You think, marching? That's not too hard. I mean, anybody can march. It's just a walk. What's the big deal? Well, get this. First of all, marching wasn't just marching. It was one step below an all-out run. Okay? So they're marching at an almost run. I mean, this is a fast, fast march. And they did it in full armor, like this guy is wearing here. They had their pack on, their armor, they're carrying their weapons. So they're marching at almost a full run in all of their army. And the goal was to do 20 miles in 5 hours. 20 miles in 5 hours. That's almost a marathon. When they were able to do that, they increased their march to 24 miles in 5 hours. And when they were able to do that, then they were battle ready. That's the length, I guess the world record for a marathon, 20 is something around just over 2 hours. So, you know, but you and I, we go out and try and run a marathon, it's going to take me like 10 hours. So if I even survive and make it all the way through. But Wendy's laughing. She knows. I can't run 100 yards without losing my breath. So then they would also practice the high jump in full armor. They would run. They would carry packs. They would swim. Now, the swimming, they took their armor off for that. But all this physical training in full armor. And their full armor, I think, along with their pack, weighed about 66 pounds. So, again, physical training. And then field service, they would go out and they would march. You see these guys here marching. They would march in unison, march together. So they got to work together as a team out on the battlefield. They would take their backpacks and fill them with 17 days worth of food. They would march in perfect military formation, helps them learn how to work together as a team. They would set up camp. They would dig ditches and all the things that you kind of do today. Physical training. They would learn how to eat healthy, learn how to sleep right, very similar to the things our military does today. Our modern military practices are based off the Roman military practices, really. They're not very modern. They're based off the Romans and what they did. So they were very physically trained, very well trained. Now, what if they signed up for the army and they got their seal on their shoulder and then their commander said, "Hey guys, go out and have fun. Eat, drink, sleep in, you know, eat all you want, get fat, and when the battle's ready, we'll call you up." When they would go off to battle, they'd get decimated, right? Because they weren't physically fit, they didn't know how to march, they didn't know how to use their weapons, they didn't know how to work together as a team. Yet that's what happens to us as Christians all the time, isn't it? We become Christians and we say, go do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to read your Bible, that's fine. If you want to attend a church, well, that'd be good once in a while. Prayer, well, I know it's difficult, so a few minutes a day or once a week if you think about it, that'd be okay. And then spiritual warfare comes and we get decimated. We think, what is going on? I thought God was supposed to help me. And He's trying, but we are physically, spiritually unfit. We haven't been training right. So as Christian soldiers, our spiritual training, you don't need to go out and run 20 miles in 5 hours, praise the Lord, right? But our spiritual training consists of Bible reading, teaching others what you've learned, praying, serving, attending church, evangelism, tithing, I mean, these sorts of things. And this is difficult stuff to do. You've tried it. You know how hard some of this is to do and to do it consistently. And these are the basics. This is basic training for you as a Christian. And so most Christians, though, we never get very good at this stuff, which is why when spiritual warfare comes, we get defeated time and time again. But if we strengthen ourselves in these areas, that's how we get a new fuse box. That's how God can send more power in us and through us so that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you want to become strong? It's not going to happen automatically. You only become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might as you work out as a Christian, as you engage in the spiritual disciplines of Bible reading, praying, attending church, tithing, evangelism, etc., as you do those things, you naturally become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and God is able to work more powerfully in us and through us. So that's my encouragement to you this week, and as we continue to look at these spiritual warfare, go on in here. Look, you need to begin and ratchet up your spiritual exercise. And I'd encourage you, I don't know where you're at on some of these things, okay? But if you are great at Bible reading and not so great at serving in the church, keep up your Bible reading and find a way to serve in the church. Maybe if you're not doing any of these things, and that happens to a lot of Christians, you know, the Bible reading's pretty sporadic, so they're not teaching. Praying's very difficult, so, you know, you pray when you really need help, but other than that, you don't pray much. And attending church is pretty spotty, and evangelizing, well, I don't even know what the gospel is or how to share it, and I'm too scared. So I'll tell you what, if that's you, and that's okay, you got to start somewhere, okay? If that's you, I recommend starting up there at number one, reading the Bible. Because that's how you learn how to pray. That's how you learn how to evangelize. That's how you learn what God wants from us and what He's given to us. So that's where I would recommend reading the Bible. A lot of people say, read through the Bible in a year. Look, if that's too much, don't even try to read through the Bible in a year. Read 5 minutes a day if you can. And then take what you read and think about it during your day. And if you want to include praying in there also, pray what you read in Scripture back to God. Denver was talking about Psalm 100. One of the best ways to pray and read your Bible at the same time is read a psalm and then pray the words of the psalm. If you don't know what to pray, pray Scripture. You can, every passage in Scripture, you can read, you can think about, and you can pray back to God. And pray for this church. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family members. And the psalms are great for that. So are the epistles. These letters of Paul here in the New Testament. You can read the Gospels. Don't read, I'm telling you now, I mean, you can if you want to, but if you try and read a book like Leviticus starting off, you're not going to get very far because you're like, whoa, what is all of this? If you love Leviticus, go ahead. There's some great stuff in Leviticus, but start with something a little simpler, like the New Testament or the Psalms or something like that. That's my recommendation. Spend 5 minutes a day. And then after that, ratchet up your training a little bit. Try 10 minutes a day. Someday, you know, while you're drinking your coffee and eating your cereal in the morning, just read your Bible and then say, God, I'm going to try and think about this and pray this day. And that's where I recommend you begin your training. And over time, you will grow strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's pray. Father, we do so want to be strong and good soldiers for You in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. And we know that You have given to us Your infinite supply of power, Father. The power that created the universe, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that transferred each one of us, Father, from the kingdom of light to the kingdom of, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And Father, we want to be good soldiers for You. But Father, we know that most of us, myself included, Father, we become spiritual couch potatoes. Father, we just kind of sit around and we don't read Your word and we don't pray. And Father, when spiritual warfare comes, when temptation comes, we fall so easily. Father, I see this in my own life so much. Father, I pray that each one of us can get on this spiritual exercise routine so that we can train ourselves to become better soldiers for You. So that more of Your power can flow in us and through us, so that we can be mighty men and women in Your army and win many battles for You and for this church, for our families. Father, wherever we're at in our Christian life, I pray that You would encourage us and challenge us this week to begin our training again. Exercise a little bit more this week. It's what You want for us, Father, and You've given us everything we need to be able to accomplish this. We know it's Your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.